So Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates. In the city she speaks her words. How long, O simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, when your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. And may God bless the reading of his holy word. The book of Proverbs is one of those books that is often read but is rarely expounded. And there's a number of reasons for that. The obvious one is that it is, well, a book of Proverbs. But starting this evening I intend to look at least at the broad sweep of this book, because one of the great problems with it is it's very easy in the book of Proverbs to miss the wood for the trees. There are literally so many trees, so many proverbs. This evening I just want to look at the first seven verses, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs is the first and foremost of the wisdom books. These books that present to us the wisdom of ancient Israel. The others are Ecclesiastes and, one would argue, Job. Job also deals in wisdom. We therefore begin, good place to start with any book, with the author, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Solomon is the wise king par excellence. He is the king who is known for wisdom. Of all the kings of Israel, he is the wise king. Although his wisdom later was eclipsed, his wisdom is characteristic of him. So we find particularly 1 Kings chapter 4, reading from verse 29, a summary statement about Solomon's wisdom. And God gave Solomon wisdom, an exceedingly great understanding, and largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Kechel, and Dada, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now there are far fewer than 3,000 proverbs in the book of Proverbs. These are therefore the cream of the crop, if you will, just as we are told in 1 Kings that his songs were 1,005, and all we have of his songs is the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. The book of Proverbs can be divided up. First of all, the first 9 chapters are essentially an introduction. Chapter 1 through 9, then chapters 10 through 24 are Proverbs of Solomon. Chapters 25 through 29 are Proverbs of Solomon that were copied by the men of Hezekiah. Chapter 30 is the work of a man called Agur, and 31 the work of King Lemuel. Here, the opening of the book, we have this short introductory paragraph, if you will. And at its end, this statement, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and introduction." This is fundamentally a theological book. It's a book that is for the Lord's people. Yes, as we saw in that description of Solomon, wisdom was a thing in other nations as well, but wisdom is not simply something that you can just go to every nation, they've all got their own wisdom. The true wisdom is the wisdom that comes from God, and the true wisdom has as its foundation that fear of God. Well, first of all, of course, we have to answer the question, what is wisdom? What is it to be wise? And what it is to be wise is summed up again in that verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Job, in Job chapter 28 and verse 28, puts it like this. "And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Job is firmly here in that true wisdom tradition. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Wisdom is about practical things, practical living in this world. And therefore, for some people, it's a bit of a surprise to find that the basic principle is not about how you live, first of all, but how you view God. There is a rather unfortunate proverb that we have about that some people are too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Well, the reality is that those who are truly heavenly minded are a great deal of earthly good. The problem is those who are not really heavenly minded, but have a false religion rather than true religion. Wisdom is practical, it is applied to the living of life. And wisdom in the book of Proverbs is, of course, presented to us in the form of proverbs, which then, of course, leads to the question, what is a proverb? How are they defined? These are the proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Well, they're defined, obviously, by looking at them. So this verse 7, again, is itself a proverb. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbial wisdom comes to us in the form of these pithy sayings. Some are longer, some are shorter. Every culture has its own sets of proverbs. Some proverbs, of course, are false. Not the one in this book, but some proverbs in culture are false. A true proverb, however, is based upon experience and sets forth a general principle. That means that sometimes proverbs have an exception. So, for example, there is our proverb, "Still waters run deep." That is to say that a person who is generally quiet is regarded as possessing a great deal of wisdom. That they're adept to them. Well, sometimes actually the reason is that someone really literally does have nothing to say. There is, of course, that other proverb of ours that it is better to keep one's mouth shut and be regarded as a fool than to open it and to leave people with no doubt whatsoever.
Another proverb you raised just briefly.
Yeah.
If you can't find something good to say about somebody, then don't say anything at all.
Yeah, and this is how proverbial wisdom works, and these things are handed down. There are proverbial books from, and proverbial writings from other cultures. The Egyptians, as again we saw in that statement about King Solomon, the Egyptians were noted for their wisdom. And yet that wisdom, it failed them at times. So we find, for example, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 8, speaking about Pharaoh and his dream. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. And then, of course, the chief butler remembers Joseph and sends for Joseph, who can explain the dream because God's spirit is in him. And so, Genesis 41 and verse 37, said, "The advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God.' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you.'" And of course we have similar accounts when it comes to Daniel in the court of the king. Wisdom was something that was valued in the society, but God's wisdom is the true and perfect wisdom. Proverbs take various forms. This one we've been looking at, verse 7, has two parts to it. Very typical of these Hebrew proverbs. A lot of them are like this. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We have here a contrast between the fear of God, which is the beginning of knowledge, and the attitude of fools. In Proverbs, in fact in the Old Testament in general, fools are not just people who are not very bright. There is a moral element to foolishness. Fools are people who are morally twisted. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. This parallelism, of course, takes various kinds. There are some parallels that are what we might call equivalent. That is to say that effectively they state the same truth twice, which of course in Hebrew language is a way of basically banging the nail on the head twice, just so that we remember these things. So for example, can I find, no. But we have also these, very often we have these contrasts, as we have here. So, an example of one that is saying the same thing twice would be Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. In the way of righteousness is life, in its pathway there is no death. But then Proverbs 13 and verse 1 would be an example of, again, this contrast. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And this is a very, very common form of these proverbs, that's teaching the truth by showing us the positive and also the negative. There are others where what they're doing is making comparisons, drawing, we might say, analogies between different things. We're sort of saying that things are similar. So, for example, Proverbs 25 and verse 3, as the heavens for height and the earth for depths, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. So here is an analogy that just as you cannot measure the height of the heavens, as they could not measure the depth of the earth, so the heart of the king was something that was not to be easily found out, easily discovered. There are other proverbs that are classifications. There are certain types of people that we meet in Proverbs. Of course, we meet the fool. We meet the sluggard. We meet the drunkard. We meet these different types of people who are described in a specific way. They are lazy person. The sluggard, the lazy person. So we see, for example, the scoffer, again, Proverbs chapter 9, from verse 7. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. We have these comparisons of value, that some things are more valuable and others less valuable. So, for example, Proverbs 19 and verse 1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse at his lips and is a fool. Better and worse. We see descriptions of consequences, that this leads to that. Now again, when we talk about this leads to that, these are general principles. So for example, Proverbs 19 verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. Well, we know that there have been cases in history of people who have born false witness and have prospered and have never been punished in this life. But you see, proverbs are not cast iron laws and rules of this always leads to that. They are rather statements of general principles, and every general principle has its exceptions. And wisdom can be a difficult business. Perhaps one of the best known pairs of proverbs can be found in Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and I've put the wrong reference down here, but what we have here, what we have in Proverbs, you have this statement, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. But also, do not answer a fool according to his folly. So, which is right? Well, the answer is they're both right. But it depends. It's Proverbs 26, yes. Verse 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his own folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Well, which is it? Well, the fact they're put together tells us something. It says that sometimes there is a situation where if you're speaking with a fool, you don't answer him according to his own folly. But there are other times where you do answer him according to his own folly, let him be wise in his own eyes. Wisdom involves being able to tell the difference. It can be a difficult thing, wisdom. But the fundamental principle of wisdom comes to us, once again, that verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fundamental to wisdom is the fear of God. Now, of course, when we talk about the fear of God, we're not talking about that slavish fear that runs away from God, but we are talking about that true and reverent fear that bows before him, that worships before him, that seeks him and his glory. So, for example, David, the father of King Solomon, writes in the 33rd Psalm, Psalm 33, from verse 18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." The fear of the Lord, we are told, is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, as Job puts it. The fear of the Lord is not something then that is slavish, that is something that undermines people, but rather, as again King David says, 111th Psalm, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." And Psalm 112, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments." Proverbs again and again picks up this great theme of the fear of the Lord as the essence, really, of what it is to be wise, as something that is a great blessing to the Lord's people. So Proverbs chapter 10 verse 27, "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish." Now again, Proverbs general principles. We know that there are those who have been very pious who have died young, and there are those who have been very wicked who have died very old. But in general, those who fear the Lord and therefore keep his commandments, do what is right, they tend to live longer than those who ignore his commandments and do what is wrong. One of the fundamental principles of biblical wisdom is that this is an orderly world. It's quite contrary, that particular principle, to the way that many pagans looked at the world. If, for example, you look at the Odyssey of Homer, or the Iliad, these great Greek epic poems, you've got gods and goddesses in opposition to each other, that who survives, for example, Odysseus alone in the Odyssey. I'm sorry if anyone has read it and feels that's a spoiler, but I think most people know that Odysseus is the only survivor of his ship at the end of the Odyssey. Odysseus survives largely because he has the favour of Athena. On the other hand, he suffers because he manages to annoy Poseidon. So that was the way that pagans saw the world. You could annoy the wrong god and you'd have it. And the creation was not a unity because there were different gods for different things. Whereas, of course, biblically, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God runs the world according to his own wisdom, his own principles. As a result, again we come back to that verse, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." We can understand nothing correctly unless we understand that God, this is God's world. I think that's paraphrasing John Calvin. We understand nothing correctly unless we understand this is God's world. And you see, the function of the Proverbs is that of instruction. It is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, and the idea of the simple is someone whose mind is yet to be formed. To the young man, knowledge and discretion, very often the young men are the simple men. But we can all, as we get older, we learn. Verse 5, a wise man, that's one who's already wise, will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Proverbs is a practical book, but it's also a book that leads us to Christ, because Christ is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is made known in Christ. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the Corinthians, he writes to people who are in a culture that is very much obsessed with wisdom. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 22. Well, indeed from verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Christ, the wisdom of God. The cross, which is to the world foolishness, is in fact the true and perfect wisdom of God on display. There is no other way of salvation. Because one of the great errors, and we see this particularly in the early church, comes up in every generation, is this idea of salvation by knowledge, or salvation by achieving some sort of wisdom. The ancient term for it, the Greek term, is Gnosticism, from the Greek gnosis, from which we get our word knowledge. And it's the idea that it is by knowing things that one is saved. But no, we are saved by the work of God in Christ. And Christ himself is the wisdom of God. And Christ shows us what true wisdom is. And in the book of Proverbs, as we consider the wisdom of the Old Testament, we understand this is the wisdom of God. We live in God's world. Therefore, true wisdom begins, again here, with the fear of the Lord. To know anything, to understand anything truly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That means that there may be such things as clever devils, but there are not wise devils. There may be very clever wicked men, but there are not wise wicked men. There is, of course, a false wisdom, the wisdom of this world, but it is not true wisdom. The wisdom of this world is from below, but the wisdom that is from above, the scripture tells us, is first pure and then peaceable. So as we consider in future weeks this book of Proverbs, let's begin with this point here, Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. As we consider the world, as we look at the world around us and try to understand it, as people always do, we begin with this point, the fear of the Lord, that true reverence that bows the knee before him, that worships him, that confesses that he is God, that confesses, as the psalmist puts it, it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. There is the true wisdom. And as we look at the world today, as we look at the West and the East and all the world that doesn't know God, what we see is folly. Different types of folly, different types of foolishness. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They despise this great fact that God created everything and that all the rules by which the universe works are rules that God has laid down. There is a very good reason why modern empirical science is something that arose out of Christian thinking, not out of pagan thinking. The pagans had their thought experiments, but paganism could never truly comprehend that we look at the world and we say, well, the way things work right now is the way things will work in 5 minutes' time, and in 10 years' time, and in 100 years' time. Why? Because God does not change. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To truly know ourselves, to truly know the world, we must first know God, and we can know him only in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to us wisdom indeed. He is the wisdom of God, and he is God with us. And so we begin this book of Proverbs, and we finish this evening's message with this great principle: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. True wisdom is from God, and true wisdom is found in knowing him, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.